Do you know that people who are very rich, successful, are less happy than the people who are poor? The poor person still has hope. When I become rich, I'll be happy.
When you have all the money in the world, there is no hope?
True success in life is be grateful for what you have. If you have somebody in your life that loves you 100% and you love them, not the whole money of the world can buy it. That is the rich person. One amazing exercise you can do with your children, I'm not sure everybody can, sit next to your child and do nothing whatsoever. Don't even think anything. This is what every child wants, to be with you. You don't have to do 24 hours a day. They don't want toys, money, computers, nothing. You don't need somebody to be in the middle between you and God. Can you realize that this life we have now is a gift, is not going to be given again? What are we doing with it? I would not waste my time doing anything that has no joy for me. Do what is joyful for you, because this is not going to be repeated again. The most valuable time in your life, you know what it is? Time. Time, we're losing it every minute. If you know you're going to die, you will live it the best way you can. But some people think they'll live forever. And everybody think everybody's going to die, but not me.
When do you know that you are in the right direction?
Number one, if you manage in this life to love someone who hates you, love is not a choice. You have to grow and mature and be burnt by life in order to be able to truly forgive a person.
How can you elevate your consciousness?
Say yes to your past. Majority of people is still fighting with their past. They cannot accept what happened to them.
Fine. Și simplu.
Bună seara! Bine ați venit la Fine și Simplu, la Cluj! Wow! Am intrat cu telefonul pornit pe filmare pentru că sunt foarte recunoscător că faceți parte din filmul vieții mele. Bine ați venit la Cinema Florin Piersic. În seara asta nu o să vorbim despre filmul vieții fiecăruia, ci o să încercăm să ne scriem fiecare dintre noi propria carte. Sunt Mihai Morar și sunt deosebit de recunoscător că sunteți aici. Mă înclin.
Doamnelor, domnilor, dragi prieteni, sunt tare bucuros că sunt pentru prima oară la Cluj cu proiectul ăsta, cel mai personal proiect pe care l-am făcut până acum, Fain și Simplu. Și mă bucur că e prima întâlnire la care pot să-l am alături pe un om care a însemnat și înseamnă foarte, foarte mult pentru mine. Așa că o să vă rog aplauze pentru doctorul Menis Yusri.
Thank you. Hello.
Welcome, Menis.
Okay.
And I want to thank you in a public space. This is the first meeting of us after
the book.
After the book.
Yes.
After Adevărul Ascuns în Tine. And I want to thank you. I'm very grateful for this book, because this is not a, I told you, this is not a marketing product. This is not about a good title, a good book cover. It's not marketing. Everybody who read this book love this book, not by its covers, by its content, by its story, by its energy. Și mi-aș dori exact lucrul ăsta, pentru că de-aia am spus, cartea asta ar fi trebuit să nu aibă titlu, să nu aibă coperți, și fiecare să-și pună propriul titlu și propria semnătură pe carte, pentru că este despre povestea fiecăruia. Și eu cred în impactul acestei cărți, nu ca produs de marketing, ci ca efect pe care îl are citirea ei. Și vă mulțumim mult dacă a ajuns în mâinile voastre până acum.
I want to ask the people the question first.
Please.
Before we start talking, I want to ask you, it's better if you don't agree with everything I say at all. At the same time, don't disagree either. I say it in another way. Don't believe anything I'm saying and don't disbelieve everything I'm saying. This way, you'll be very comfortable. You're not going to be at war with yourself while I'm speaking, trying to figure out this is correct or not. And if you approach our conversation this way, you will understand many things without any struggle. Because really, if something is true for you, it will be felt by your body immediately. If it's not, it won't. So I want to save you time thinking while we're talking, okay? Agree? Yeah? Good.
Thank you for this disclaimer, Dennis.
Yes, okay.
Speaking about our book, I think the most important chapter of Adevărul Ascuns în Tine seems to me to be that one about the personal development, the self-love, self-help books, and why the methods don't work. You say that you will never do anything if you follow certain steps because you don't know what's next in your life.
Yes.
If you want to do something in this life, you have to realize something you don't know.
Yes.
Exactly what you told me in the beginning of this year when we worked for this book. Has anything changed since the beginning of the year in your perception? Have you had any revelation related to this immense subject, the personal development?
I have a revelation every minute. because there's a saying I found out many years ago. It says, every revolution is good in the first day. After that, it's not revolution anymore. So our life should be a revolution every minute. Because everything we know, it's old after. And the world now is dominated by a revolution that's very old. And we learn something and we apply it again and again and again when time has changed. Life is extremely inconsistent. And the only consistency is inconsistency. So if you ask me this question again after 1 hour, I will give you a different answer. And this is how we need to live our life. The source of human problems and trouble is our mind learns something and wants to fix it.
Yeah.
And stay the same again, again. This is the problem with humanity actually altogether. This is the reason we are having problems trying to fix it and solve it exactly the same way again and again and again. So the world now is experiencing a huge amount of personal development work. Old revolutions. This is what I call it. And I think it's a problem. And I was in Bulgaria giving a talk and a woman asked me, I don't know what to choose. This and this and this. The world is full of different courses, seminar, personal development. And while I'm talking to her, I realized something very interesting. I have been involved in this work for almost 35 years. And when I started, there was no personal development at all.
Yeah, and there is no personal
development. There was only healing, meditation, yoga, things like this. But there was no this supermarket we have. We have a shopping mall of personal development at the moment.
I think we have an industry.
Industry. And I realized something. Every 2 or 3 years, somebody come up with an idea. It becomes, we call it the flavor of the month. Everybody buy it. And then it gets old, something else. And she asked me, what to choose? What do I do? And I told her this. If you work with anybody, if you want to work on yourself, if you want to do any personal development, if you want to do any therapy, the tool of the therapist, of the person who's working with you, is his consciousness and nothing else. Nothing else. It doesn't matter what you do. You can never develop when you meet a person to support you who is lower than you. I'm not saying that smarter or not. If you want to go somewhere, you need to meet somebody who arrived there. So they can take you there. Not to meet a person who has never arrived. Not to ask a person, for example, how to deal with my children who never had children. Who never suffered of being parent, never had an adolescent, hurt, struggled, felt the pain of growing somebody up. So to sum all this up is, the key is the consciousness of the person. That's the key. And our consciousness is rising every single day. That's the kind of the bottom answer for your question.
So you have to choose a master, a priest, a therapist that is older than you.
You enter
that already knows the way.
Okay. Your question is very dangerous now already because
I said priest, I know.
No, there is no master, there's no teacher.
My job is to provoke you.
Thank you. In that case, I will try to provoke you too in a minute. There is a very beautiful Zen old saying, probably people will recognize it. The finger that's pointing to the moon, yes? Finger points to the moon. Everybody looking at the finger, not the moon. All personal development is the finger.
Wow, this is gold.
You see? So we need to look at the moon, not the finger. You see? So there is no, the master, the teacher, is the consciousness of the person who is sitting next to you.
Okay, the next question.
Yes.
Because for me, in this book, you have the role of a master.
Yes, you had.
You have the role of a master for me in this book.
This is what you think.
Without being patronizing,
okay,
with me or superior.
Sure, sure.
You are
here.
You don't tell me in this book where to go. That's the way in which direction to take the to take my life. What should be the role of a therapist in the whole story of your life?
Let me go around the question a little bit. When we come to this life, we are clear, pure, no problems. Unless if somebody have a genetic problem or sick illness or something. The moment you enter this life, you're like an empty canvas, nothing in it. Yes? Then your parents start drawing your life from their own life. Yes? If the parents is clear, stable, kind and loving, you don't need anybody in this life. We need people because many of us had a very unusual, difficult time in the beginning of life. So everybody, you see, what I'm saying to you now, it will come up in many questions later. Everybody is looking for somebody to be next to them, loving them unconditionally, accept them as they are, and connect with them. That's what everybody is looking for. When we don't find this, we start doing the most crazy things in the world. We're trying to look for a master, for a teacher, for a guru, for many things. That means when you want somebody to help you, yes, you want to call it a master, you can call it anything you want. That person must be calm, stable, and has presence for you to give you the parents you never had.
Speaking to you with the voice you didn't hear in your childhood, eventually.
You could say that. You know that when a child is born, they don't know they exist at all. They think they are their parents. They don't even know they have a face or eyes, nothing. They look at the parents is them. So if there's something wrong with these people, there's something wrong with me. You see? So now, all the work I've done for years, I have not met many people survive the childhood without any kind of damage. There's always something happened to everybody, to various degrees, of course. This is really what we're looking for. So we're looking for somebody to be with us, to, you know, I tell something to everybody here, especially the parents in the room. One amazing exercise you can do with your children, I'm not sure everybody can, sit next to your child and do nothing whatsoever. Don't even think anything. Look at the quietness in the room. People worried about this.
Why is good?
Because
this exercise.
We cannot sit next to somebody, do nothing. We're doing something, thinking of something.
Look at me now.
Looking at the phone, trying. This is what every child wants, to be with you. You don't have to do 24 hours a day. But so many people can't do that. And this is what all our children want. They don't want toys, money, computers, nothing.
Menis.
Yes.
So there are almost 800 people.
Yes.
Here now. We have to throw all the self-help books from our library?
No. Don't take me literally. Because I am sure. I always get into trouble. That's why I started saying people don't agree or disagree. This is the reason I said it, mm-hmm. Okay? Because they start getting worried, they're going to go home and wondering what to do and get upset with me. And there are people sitting here already doing personal development. There are many coaches in the room, I'm sure. Yeah, maybe half. So, my life is very important. I want to go home safe, okay?
Okay.
I am sure there are people doing good work. There is no doubt about it. I'm sure. But the end is this. Anything you read, anything you learn, yes, it is not yours.
But what you say is don't copy the methods.
Yeah.
Don't copy the steps. Okay, look. Because you have your own journey and you don't know what's next.
Okay. Let me say it a different way. Life is like an exam, yes?
Exam.
Examination. You go to exam school. Everybody has a different exam, mm-hmm. But we're trying to copy other people's papers. You understand? So, I cannot copy you. You cannot copy me.
So, in Romania, cel mai bun sfat de viață, nu copiați. Don't copy.
My truth is your belief. It doesn't belong to you. What belongs to you is how you feel, how you experience life, and becomes true for you. I would not believe anybody whatsoever.
That's why this book is beautiful for me.
Yes.
Because it contains zero methods, zero steps.
Nothing.
No receipt.
You don't need somebody to be in the middle between you and God. You don't need anybody in the middle. It's only your connection with whoever created us.
But when do you know that you are in the right direction?
Very easy. Tell me first, what do you mean by the right direction first?
I have to arrive to Bucharest.
Yeah.
In the morning, because I have a morning show at the radio.
Yeah.
So, when do I know I'm in the right direction to Bucharest?
Oh, you look at your GPS. If are you talking about direction, literal direction, or are you talking
about... No. The direction in life.
Very easy. Two things need to happen to you to to know that you're in the right direction.
Okay.
Actually, not only I make it better, I make your question better, you will know that you arrived to your destination as well. Number one, if you manage in this life to love someone who hates you unconditionally. Everybody here, most people has a person in their life who drive them crazy. And
everybody?
Most people. There is someone who will come to your life, will make your life hell. And you will struggle with them to the end. This person, God sent them to you to learn unconditional love.
So this is our first homework from you. Next.
It's not a homework.
It's life work.
Because it's not a choice. You understand?
It's not a choice.
It's not a choice. It is not you live here and decide to do this. You have to suffer quite a lot to get to that.
Don't I have the choice?
You cannot choose to be kind to somebody. You cannot choose to forgive somebody. You cannot choose compassion for people. This is wisdom. It has to grow in your heart after you burn your ego totally. You see? This is the danger of personal development work. I can stand here and tell you do this and do this and do this. For the best one I like is forgiveness. Yes? It's a wonderful thing to forgive people, yes? I can challenge the whole group here. How many times you forgive a person and deep in your heart and soul you're really pissed off with them? Forgiveness is not a choice. Acceptance is not a choice. Love is not a choice. You have to grow and mature and be burnt by life in order to be able to truly forgive a person. You see, forgiveness is an act of arrogance.
Act of arrogance.
Absolutely. Not only is your ego want you to forgive, so you become a good person. And I'm now going to take it much deeper than that. Why do you have to forgive somebody? Why? That means you have already judged the person in order to forgive them. Yes? Why do you have to go that far? But we forgive people because the culture, the group, demands of us to be good people. And a good person is a forgiving person. And the person who forgive go around to their friends and everybody say, I have forgiven my parents. I have forgiven my friends. So people can admire us. But we haven't. So it is not a choice. You see?
Because it's not a choice because it's not made by the mind.
It is something you read in personal development and books and seminars only. But not this is the finger that pointed to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It is not reality at all. You see, it is your own reality, which is complete illusion. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm.
But you told me in the book that to forgive, you have to suffer. Without suffering, there is no true forgiveness.
This word suffering is very dangerous because also people suffer to look good as well. You understand? To show the people how they're suffering. So very difficult. All the words, everything we learn is very difficult because it's only always intellectual ideas. What I mean by suffering is you have to truly experience life and burn into our existence until you emerge into something much higher than we are now.
Mm-hmm.
You see? This is what I mean. So that is number one, you see. And people achieve this in life when they truly, truly love a person deep in their heart and this person hate them, judge them, contradict them. The only way to get to this happens often with children. Like if you have children, you will never ever let go of them. You will love them to the end no matter what they do to you. And this is one of the gifts of having children in this life.
Hmm.
You see, so this is number one. The other one is...
So the first one,
This is the first one.
To know that you are in the right direction. When you're able to love
somebody
you hate,
okay,
right now.
When you can accept a person not accepting you.
Facem asta când ajungem acasă? Credeți că puteți?
What are you asking them? Are you in trouble?
They are not convinced.
Not convinced.
That we can do this.
It's possible.
How can you arrive there? This level of consciousness.
Can I say something a little bit spiritual? This is how God sees us. God accepts everybody. I don't know what God is, but I use the metaphor. This is how God sees us. Accept everybody.
This is unconditional love.
Yes.
Okay. This is the first.
Unconditional love. You cannot tell a person you should love unconditionally. This, when a person arrive to this, they will know they have unconditional love.
Uh-huh.
You see where I'm going? You know, I work with people for 35 years. I have never managed once to convince anybody anything. Not once.
When you love a person,
mm-hmm,
okay, we are in our family,
yes,
in our relation.
Yeah.
It's good to say every 5 minutes, I love you, baby. Huh? It's healthy?
No. How do you feel?
This is your only answer? No?
No, the answer is no.
But why?
When you love a person, they see it in your eyes. You don't have to say it. They see it in the way you walk, talk, move, everything. You don't have to say anything at all.
So in these times, you think that there is too much I love you in words and too little
this is become
in
a,
eyes?
Become a habit. Of course, a person say I love it. You do love you, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But this become a habit and becomes mechanical and overused.
You told Elena you love her before the conference.
I have no choice.
That's why you choose a Romanian wife.
Well, I'm going to come to number two now.
Okay.
Number two.
We are getting too personal. Yeah.
Number two, which is even better. And this is what I learned from my wife, actually.
Mm-hmm.
If you allow somebody to love you unconditionally, you know you arrived.
Give me an example.
You know, I have 5 university degrees in therapy, yeah? And I worked 35 years with people. I never learned how to be loved except from a person who has no degrees whatsoever, which is my wife, Elena. I find it difficult to say that. I feel really emotional because nobody taught me, no guru, no teacher, nobody except her. Especially, I'm very difficult to be loved.
This is how kids are loving us. Because
yes.
I gave you my example.
Yes.
My kids, my 3 daughters,
yes,
they don't care that I have a full house conference in Cluj on Sunday evening.
Yeah.
They love me unconditionally.
Yes.
Without or with this.
Yes. Yes.
They don't care that the podcast is in trending or the radio is number one in...
How old are they?
15 years, the twins, and 4 years old, the Roa, the little one.
Wait until they get older and ask me the question again.
So this is... The kids are loving unconditional or not?
They love you unconditionally, of course, but... Once they start growing,
something happens to their brain, okay? This is not...
What age?
Well, you should take a holiday and spend some time with them before they get old. No. When the children turn adolescent, really, yes? They are not human beings anymore. They become something completely different. Because they go through a process. They don't want you. They don't want you, but they want your money.
Okay,
and
thank
now
you for the
this
goodness.
Is the time when you learn unconditional love.
Mm-hmm. No exception.
Well, I haven't seen one yet. If somebody comes to me, I would love to meet them, but I haven't met anybody mm-hmm. yet. But really, now you see that we've answered the question you're struggling with. Can you continue loving them when they are using you? They're not using you, they are separating. And by the way, when adolescents rebel and use you and do these crazy things, it is wonderful. You know why? This is evolution. Mm-hmm. Evolution demands they should separate and move away and do different life than the life you have. But then your mind has a fixed life that you brought up with. You want them to continue, they will not continue. So in the next meeting together, maybe we should address that question again.
Dennis, you know what we didn't talk about in this book? About the secret of success and well-being and wealth and some tips and tricks about bogatie.
This is a very big question. I will take pieces.
I have only big questions.
Okay. I answer the question with a question first, and then I will answer it. Why do you want to succeed?
Because that's how the civilization, the culture creates us.
Now we have a problem.
What's the problem?
Do you want to follow the culture or follow you?
I want to follow me, but I want to live in a culture, in a civilization, in a community.
The culture respects people who are successful, yes?
I think so.
Did your parents respect you when you were successful?
I think yes.
And if you're not successful?
I think yes.
I'm not sure about that. This is a very painful question.
I don't know if they will. They respect me or they tolerate me, but
respect not the best word. But let's go back. You see, the question you asked me before will come back here again. I want to tell everybody here, I can't see the faces very well, but ask yourself this question. If your children fail in their life, would you still love them?
Yes, 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 yes. I didn't hear a no.
You need to hear da. Yeah, okay. This is not the case, unfortunately. You will push them to the end. It's very easy to say yes. It's not the case. Because you love them in such a way you want them to succeed. But you don't realize that truly love them is for them to be whatever they want to be. So don't say yes too quickly. Sorry to confront you with this response. How many parents want the children to speak more than one language, to learn to be better, to be something, yes? From childhood, we have been bombarded by the idea you have to be successful. What if you're not successful? You're still a human being. Yes? Now, here is the tragedy in your question.
the painful part. If you don't want to be successful, you will be.
By chance?
Not at all. By your consciousness.
Everybody's consciousness is set for success.
Everything you do in your life is organized by your consciousness. The way you eat, the way you cook, the way you work, the way you're talking to me now.
Mm-hmm.
Your conscience is here. If your conscience is very low, we would not have this conversation.
Okay.
So your consciousness will give you everything you want. Everything. You don't have to fight to be successful. You don't have to do anything. Everything I have achieved in my life, yes, I have never worked for it.
Do you accept a dumb question?
Yes, of course. Dumb question will have a dumb answer, but I will try to get it.
I know you can.
Okay.
I trust you.
I will try to make it undumb answer. Okay.
So there are... How can you elevate your consciousness? To raise from low to high?
Very easy. Two things. To say yes to your past.
Sorry, I'm not understanding.
You want a dumb answer? Say yes to your past. Majority of people is still fighting with their past. They cannot accept what happened to them.
Uh-huh.
And these people, they come to the seminars and I listen to them. I know it's a waste of time, but I do it anyway. To give them the peace and comfort and love to get it out of the system. Many people sit in this room still think, and maybe part of me still, that I wish my parents were different. I wish this didn't happen to me. I wish it didn't happen to me. How can you succeed like this? And I always say to people, when will the time come when you stop using your parents as the reason of your failure? When the time comes when you stop using your past as the reason of your failure? Everything that happened to us doesn't exist. There's only one factor left. You know what the factor is? You. It's you left.
So what happens to you? You come with nothing, yes, in this world, okay?
Yes. Yes.
Then you grow your consciousness.
Yes.
Okay. Why is low at some people? Why is high at some people?
Okay, look. Not everybody come to this life with everything available to them.
Mm-hmm.
Some less, some more.
Okay.
Yes? Like family.
We are not equals.
Family, situation, life. Mm-hmm. This is not the problem. It is like you come to this life with a set of cards, you see. The question to you is, how are you going to play your cards? Are you going to spend all your life to say, I have bad cards? Or are you going to play them well? You see? So now we need to say yes to your past, that's number one. And if you want your conscience to rise, if you want to heal any problem, if you want to do anything, you see, everything I'm saying is too much common sense that people cannot understand it. It's too much common sense. You understand what I mean? If you want to change anything in your life, you need to say one word only. Can you guess what it is? This what I want.
This what I want.
That's all you need to say.
This what I want.
Yes.
Simple.
Simple. And it's
fine
like,
and simple.
Like your work. Simple and easy.
So there is no poor mindset.
Let me just expand on your question because I think I made it far too easy and quick, okay? Most of the work I do, yes, I look at when things happen to us in the past, that's very painful and very difficult, yes? They go somewhere in our mind. They stay in us, yes? Over the years, what happened to us, it is not the problem at all. It is how your mind and brain has managed to work out a way to survive them. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. This is the problem. The way people learn how to survive the problems is the problem. Are you with me?
Because so not the problems are the problems in your life, it, but how you face the problems,
how your brain dealt with the problem.
Uh-huh.
You see what I mean?
Okay.
Everybody deals with the problem in a different way.
Yeah.
And the way we dealt with what happened to us in our life when we were small, mm-hmm. this is where we need to look at. But everybody is confused between what happened to them and what they are doing to fix what happened to them. Can you see the difference?
That's why some people turn the adversity in their advantage. That's why some people turn their advantage yeah. in adversity.
Yeah. But there's a missing piece here, very important. The way you learned how to deal with your problems, which is a survival strategy, mm-hmm. yes? The hardest part that I say something in the seminar and it kind of provoked a lot of people. You, as a person, have made a choice and cooperated with the way you're going to use to survive, even if it's going to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get it? And nobody wants to admit this to themselves.
Yeah, but
slow down, don't rush too much.
This doesn't work for your life.
Wait a minute. Wait. You need to find out how you cooperated to destroy your life. And you need to admit to yourself that this is what you did to yourself. And what I call is the ultimate responsibility. So success in life needs responsibility. And nothing else.
When you know that you are ready for success.
When the universe and life shows you that you are moving the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy. When all the, I don't want to talk in abstracts, but all these years in my life, yes, when I had difficult relationships, yes, and then I ended up in a relationship that's 100% loving, supportive. Now I know I move in the right direction. As simple as that. Look around you. See the result you produce in your life. The result will show you if you move in the right direction or not. It's like feedback. It's a constant feedback walking with you all the time. Showing you the result. The result shows you. And then it's another sentence I always use is, walking makes the road. It's not the road makes the walking. You understand? So when you keep moving, you make the road for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not to wait until the road appears and you move. This is what I call the ultimate responsibility we take in our life.
Nice. Sper că vă notați lucrurile astea, că de ținut minte le uităm.
Ok.
Menis. Let's talk a little bit about the mindset. Everything is about the mindset nowadays. There is the world is full of mindsets. The billionaire mindset, the positive mindset, growth mindset, the, I don't know, entrepreneurial mindset, the challenge mindset, the top 1% mindset, and so on. Which is the best mindset on the planet?
I don't know what the mindset is.
The mindset?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
The personal development is about the mindset.
Mindset is an invention by a person. And everybody is talking about mindset. Another invention people talk about is, I want financial abundance. Wonderful. This is what I call the fashion that comes. I want the financial abundance. So people want the financial abundance, yes? And they want to sit at home and watch television. Yes? Is that possible? They don't want to do any work. These things you're talking about, it's for the new generation that know their parents have money and they're waiting for them to die and inherit their money and have a nice mindset of a millionaire. This is the new generation,
mm-hmm.
you see? So they are too smart. They see you working all your life and getting very tired and you save money, yes, for nothing. So they say, why would I work? I can take the money after them.
So now they do these courses about the mindset and millionaires. They don't want to do any work.
This is the Gucci movie.
What is that Gucci movie?
The story of the Gucci family.
I don't know what is that family.
Elena for sure knows about Gucci.
She can tell me when I get home.
Elena, you didn't teach Menis anything about Gucci? This is not possible.
I'm a very slow learner. But let me talk about this a little bit more.
Yeah.
People who teach you to make money, yes, it has a serious problem. It's like personal development. But I don't want to misunderstand because I'm sure somebody do some good work somewhere, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make money, what is the most practical thing to do?
I don't know. Money was not my resolution for this year.
If you want money, what the most practical thing to do?
Work.
Here is the answer. Why go to seminars? Why go sit on a chair and pay money and then expect to be rich?
I go to seminar.
Yes. To get the mindset.
Yes. Because without the billionaire mindset, okay. I cannot work to make money.
I will give you mindset now, okay? Go to work. As simple as that. These people don't want to work. The new generation, not all, do not want to work. Because life is too easy. It's too easy. And I always say this. If you make it easy for your children when they're young, it will be very hard when they're old.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we always do. We made it too easy for them. Why we made it too easy? Because we feel guilty, because we cannot spend time with them. And we are busy doing what? Chasing success. So they smarter than us, they're chasing success without working. Look how smart they are. We're chasing success and working, but they're not working. And I think I agree with them.
So there is no mindset of success.
There is in our imagination. There is. What does it mean, mindset? We're not computers.
It's dream set.
We are not computers. I have to set my mind to be millionaire and that'll be the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked me in Bucharest, how come you're successful and you have everything you want? I have. And the best answer I give to people when I don't know. Okay, the best answer always come. And I looked at person's eyes and something came to me and I had a revelation. I told this person, I just realized now the answer I will give you. The answer for me is, all my life, nobody gave me anything. That was the answer. For somebody else, if they're not given anything, they go mad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? But for me, it worked. It doesn't have to work for them.
It was the motivation.
It was not a motivation. I took full responsibility of my life.
Uh-huh.
I didn't blame anybody. I didn't even care. So when something goes wrong, I know I will do it. And then I learned something from life that's fascinating. I learned something against all personal development, yes? Which is, if you want to succeed in life, you need to learn this. You need to do what you want and to do what you don't want.
I love this.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how to be free to do what you want and to do what you don't want?
Because everybody,
yes,
wants success.
Exactly.
Doing what they love.
Absolutely. What a joke.
Exclusively.
What a joke. Everybody say, because this was a fashion at some point, it's over.
It's over.
It's over. People, we went through a phase, if you do what you love, you be rich. Yes? So everybody waiting until they find what they love. When I'm going to find out what I love? And if I don't find out what I love, then I can wait. And I get money from other people. Yeah? This is what the new generation is doing, most of them. Okay? Now, what can you imagine? Have the freedom to be able to do everything you want and everything you don't want. Can you just imagine how it feels? Not out of fear or pain, nothing. You have the, if anything goes wrong, it doesn't matter, I can do it.
Yeah, but when you, I answer you with some text from self-help books.
Yes.
When you are doing what you don't love,
yes,
this is the road to burnout.
Yes, of course.
But so,
yes, but I want to clarify this for
please.
You. The statement I told you now is very, very high. You go through two stages. The first stage, you do what you don't like out of fear. Second stage, you don't do it. The third stage, you do anything when you reach very high. So this is the way how we, our consciousness arises, you see. Mm-hmm. It is true for some people, when they don't do what they like, they will burn out, of course, because they have resistance. You see, we must not resist life whatsoever. In the end, yes, we're like in a stream reaching the ocean, yes? The ocean is death. We all go in there. Whether you swim against the current or not, you go in there. Why fight with it? Here in Romania, nobody die of starvation, yes? I have not seen anybody in the street.
There are a
few. Everybody's okay, mm-hmm, really. So why worrying, struggling to be successful? By the way, do you know that people who are very rich, successful, are less happy than the people who are poor? Did you know that?
Some of them, yeah.
Not some of them, most of them. But do you know why? Do you know the reason? The poor person is still have his hope. When I become rich, I'll be happy. But the rich person is fucked up. I'm finished. What can I do? They wake up in the morning and think, my God, I'm still not happy. I have all this. What am I going to do now?
So when you have all the money in the world, there is no hope?
The money, what will the money do for you? In the end of the day, you can sleep in one bed, in one house.
Yeah, but it's...
You drive one car. People rich have 20 cars. They can't even remember them. Why is that stress? If you have many things around you, there is stressful trying to keep them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see what I'm trying to say?
Okay, it was a great subject about success. You have to write a book about the new rule of success.
Let me add something about success. One more thing, and I want to tell you a little story.
Please.
True success in life is be grateful for what you have. If you're grateful for what you have, you have what you have. If you're not grateful, you don't have it. What people do every morning, not everybody, every day, we wake up in the morning, and the first thing that comes to my mind, oh, I need to have this, I need to buy this, I don't have this, yes? What if tomorrow morning you wake up and walk around your house and look at everything you have and see, I have this, I have this, I have this, I have this. What's the difference? Big difference. One is rich and one is poor. The rich person, rich in your heart, I have this, I have. If you have somebody in your life that loves you 100% and you love them, not the whole money of the world can buy it. It's, everybody knows this. That is the rich person. This is the two things we discussed in the beginning. This is the second one. And let me tell you that story quickly.
Please.
There was a very rich American guy, yes, travel in the Middle East to do business a lot. And he's very wealthy. And he goes to one of these Arabic country, making another big deal, you see. And then in a break, he goes out and walk, yeah, with his suitcase and full of checks and contracts. and he has only 1 hour to get back to the meeting. And he finds this Arabic guy sitting under a tree, relaxing. And he couldn't believe it. He asked, what are you doing here? Why are you sitting like this? And the Arabic guy said to him, what about you? What do you do? He said, I travel around the world. I make a lot of money. And the Arabic guy said, why? He said, yes, I'll tell you why. When I go back to California, in my big house, I have a big swimming pool and have a big chair and I sit and relax. And the Arabic guy said, this is what I'm doing now.
So, I wonder, this is success.
Yes, okay.
The Arabic guy, are you sure he was Arabic guy, not Romanian guy?
No, Romanians are.
Because
they work harder.
Have you been in Maramureș?
No.
There are so many guys sitting under the trees.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe they are smarter than us.
Under the pruni. Menis, that's the thing about the success. What's well-being?
Well-being?
Well-being. What's well-being?
I have no idea. What does that mean?
I thought you can help me because...
No, these names are nightmare for people. Well-being, financial abundance, success. Why?
What means for you
yes.
to be well?
Okay. We are invited in this world for a short time. Yes? Well-being, for me, if I accept your expression, is to enjoy every single moment until it's over. And nothing else. Not to waste our time fighting with people for no reason whatsoever. What I said now, I need to hear it 1,000 times, and some people here need to hear it 50,000 times, yeah. Until it sticks. But we are really, can you realize that this life we have now is a gift, is not going to be given again, one time? Every person in this room is a gift, has a gift, our life. What are we doing with it? I don't advise, but just coming up, I would not waste my time doing anything that has no joy for me. For some people, work is joy. For some people, it's okay. Some people, reading is joy. Getting dressed well is joy. Eating good food is joy. Do what is joyful for you. Because this is not going to be repeated again. What a gift. Every single day. The most valuable time in your life, you know what it is? Time. Time, we're losing it every minute. That's really, if you ask me what the purpose of life, I tell you this is the purpose of life. There's another purpose of life, it's much more painful. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know it?
Please.
It's the realization that we will die. We need to live with death every day to appreciate life. If you know you're going to die, you will live it the best way you can. But some people think they'll live forever. And everybody think everybody's going to die, but not me. Because we go and attend people's funeral, we don't go to our own funeral. You know what I mean? We see other people dying. We never see ourselves dying. I don't want to be negative, but this is the fact.
Speaking of about well-being, you know that we are in November now. The next month is the month of well-being. December is the month about happiness.
Happiness. Yes.
The month when everyone is good, when we are together. It seems that you are not allowed to be sad in December. You are not allowed to say that you are lonely, that you are not good enough. In December, everybody has to be happy or
yes.
They are not present. How dangerous is December for people's mental health?
Very dangerous. because we do not accept our sadness. We do not accept. We don't accept our loneliness. We don't accept our violence. We don't accept our pain. Is it okay to be sad or not? Will people love you when you're sad? Do you love your children when they are sad?
Me personally, yes.
Yes? It's okay, I believe you.
You have to.
These people who said they were not loved when they were sad. They were not loved when somebody saw them failing or in pain. So the person who feels sad in this time, they need support. And they need to seek support.
I think that these moments in our life, like the Christmas, New Year, Easter, and so on, the people don't need to be happy. They need to be seen. This is the greatest need of everybody, to be seen. You know, when you don't have time, in December you don't have time. And you send a present to a friend or to a parent or to a grandparent, and you think that this is okay, but it's much more valuable if you go and visit them.
Yes, of course.
Without a present.
Yes.
I think the presence is the present.
Oh, yes, I agree with you. So I will not give you an answer then, but I agree with you.
Thank you. It's the first time you...
Thank you.
Let's talk about...
I just want to tell you, when I worked in England in the hospital, after Christmas, the referral from people with depression increases a lot. A lot. We are very busy in January, especially when people see their family again, like their parents. All the trouble start again, and people become very lonely. There's an association this time that we should be together. But I think you addressed the bigger issue with connection. Everybody wants the connection.
You know that after all the Christmas, New Year's Eve, all the festive season, at the beginning of January, there is Blue Monday, the saddest day from the year. And it's exactly what you said. Let's talk about loneliness a little bit, because I heard someone saying that loneliness is killing much more people than cancer these days.
In the beginning of humanity, people lived in groups, yes? Nobody lived alone, groups. And when you had a problem, the group will take care of you. The group start to split into families. And when you have a problem, the family take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And families start to break up. What next? People start having relationships, trying to get close to the person. And relationships broke up. Guess what next after that? Therapy was after that. Therapy is a replacement for loneliness.
But therapy is not connection.
Not at all. The therapist have an artificial connection. Or let's say professional connection.
Not artificial.
It's not a real connection. How can you pay a person to connect with you? I call it the art of paying for friendship. That's what therapy is. And this is the source of loneliness we have. We have lost the connection. The human beings are not meant to live alone. Because I suspect something. By the way, connection can never be explained, by the way. It's like love. It cannot. You cannot make a connection consciously. It's something completely different. In this life, when I said this life is a gift, What I'm saying, I have no proof of, but before we came to this life, we didn't have a body for sure. I don't know where we come from, what's happening. But here is the only opportunity in our existence, whether before or after, that we actually, away from everybody, have our own space. Yes? It's the only time. If we look at it this way, that means in order for me to go back to the source, I have to connect with somebody. And this is where we come from. So everybody desires this connection. That's why we want love, want to be with somebody, want to be with the groups, with people. And this is the source of loneliness. And I always say this, the source of the human suffering for almost everybody is our inability to have a healthy, natural relationship.
Let me tell you about a study carried out in the USA that reveals that young people, part of Generation Z, Gen Z, feel a deep sense of loneliness. That's why they allocate a lot of money to be part of as many social groups as possible. So you pay money for artificial connection. Because I think the loneliness is not necessarily the problem of our generations. The loneliness will be a real problem for the generation of our kids
in
Romania.
By the way, we connect to a previous question you asked. What is the desire for success?
To be seen, to be validated.
And when you validate it, you are not lonely.
Yes.
You be seen by people. So that means we need to success out of fear.
You know, I have been on Athos Mountain.
Yes.
I made a podcast. I put exactly the same questions to a monk.
Yes.
Father Pimen.
Yes.
And he told me that everyone suffers from loneliness because everybody is waiting nowadays to receive love and is not ready to offer love anymore.
I want to answer the question in a long way a little bit. Okay.
Please.
When a child is born, there's a natural entitlement to receive love. We're born with this. We're born entitled to be loved by somebody. Yes? Many people do not receive it. So they spend all their life looking for the natural entitlement. But the natural entitlement turned to unnatural entitlement. So they seek it in a different way. Money, success, gambling, addiction, everything. So he's right. Everybody wants this, you see. But sadly, I don't want to paint a negative picture about the world we live in now, but not many people are able to give to somebody what they don't have. So when they go to the priest or the monk, he's a person who is there, calm, open, loving, doesn't want anything from them, but his love is presence, so they would want to be there.
You see, it's funny because the monks are living in solitude.
Yes.
And they are not lonely. We live in communities.
Yes.
And we suffer from loneliness.
Yes. And you don't think they suffer from loneliness?
Sorry?
You don't think they suffer from loneliness?
The monks?
Yes.
I don't know all the monk stories, but when I see Father Pimen,
yes,
he's not suffering from loneliness.
This is a mystery to me. I have not solved yet. For me, it's a mystery.
I have a dream, Menis.
You have what?
I have a dream. One day, to work with you on Mountain Athos.
It will be
to hear you without broadcasting, to hear a conversation between you and the monk. You tell me in this book that voice is much more important than words. And the problem is that we search for words when we are speaking with people. We are not adapting our tone of voice. Because it's much more important than the words. Your success is because you use a tone of voice with the people, a voice they didn't hear from their parents. A calm one.
I want to take it a little further, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The voice of the person comes from their consciousness. Not from their mind, from their consciousness. You see, not only the real voice is the space between the words. This is the real voice, the space. Okay? And I give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
For, say, relationships and parents. If you ask your partner to give you a glass of water, yes? Your partner can come to you and say, drink this. Or, this is for you to drink. Look at the difference. Big difference. A huge difference. Now, the way you speak and the way you stop, this is where the connection is unexplained. And people who talk very fast, they are very nervous and unstable. It is like, I use the metaphor, you only hear the music between the notes. You understand? This what the real music is between the space.
Uh-huh. Between the notes.
Between the notes
of a song.
The music appears.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a metaphor. So when you speak to a person, your compassion, your kindness will show in the moments between the words, more than the words. Of course, the voice also has a tone, yes. But I think the voice of the person reveals their consciousness. In fact, everything you do reveals your consciousness, but the voice is much more obvious because it touches the heart so quickly.
So don't be afraid of silence.
Not at all.
In a conversation.
Not at all.
We have many moments of silence in our conversations.
Yes. In old spiritual teachings, they say silence is the sound of God.
O simțiți?
So when I said it, there's a moment of silence in the whole room. Quickly. And then people start panicking, they want to hear something else. We can't be in a silence.
Why are people in relationships afraid of being silent?
We organized, conditioned, we have to do something to be something. We're afraid of being, we end up being doing. Being is much more powerful than the doing. And I go back to the very beginning when I said to everybody here, can you sit next to your child and do nothing? Is what I meant, being. Then you teach your children to be still and calm. Something very important I didn't say in the beginning. We're born with a mechanism to stabilize us.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned it before last time, I think.
Yeah.
This mechanism to stabilize us, learn to be stable from the parents. Learn, yeah. So when you're a parent with a person in a relationship, parenting, at work even your boss, if that person is stable, you take from them the same energy and you can calm down immediately. You see?
But in a love relationship, when this is, I don't know, a thing in Romania, when she or he is silent, it means that it hides someone from you. It's hiding something.
There is silence and silence.
Ah, there are different kind types of silence.
Yeah, there is, and the silence that a problem are felt immediately,
mm-hmm.
and the silence that peaceful also felt immediately.
and partners know each other very well, and especially women know more than men. They sense much more and faster than men.
Mm-hmm. And your advice for relationships?
Yes.
For people in relationship?
I have a million of advice. I say it all the time, but I think it's worth hearing it again and again.
Mm-hmm.
In order for the relationship to succeed, it's something I'm learning every single day. Yes? Your partner will do something. To you, it is total madness. To you. But to them, it's not. How are you going to deal with that? How can you deal with a child who's doing something crazy, your son, when they are small and you love them anyway? Yes, can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You must do the same with your partner. You love them anyway. That means you have to be mature and patient and big enough to allow your partner to play their game, and you remain, have a space for their game in your heart. You cannot have that space in your heart for your partner if you do not have a space for your pain in your heart.
Oh, that's deep.
Yeah.
And hard.
Shall I say it again?
Yes. Once again.
Okay. If you have a space in your heart, space for your pain, for your anxiety, for your hurt, for you, you can have it for everybody.
Uh-huh.
That means in order for the relationship to succeed, you have to be at peace with you, not with them. Because the peace of you will contain them in you. And if you continue being patient and mature with your partner, guess what's going to happen? They will do the same for you.
Because we are mirrors.
No, you will teach them how to do it.
Because the people are mirrors.
Yeah, not only, you don't say anything. Once you're trying to teach them, you destroy everything.
Let me tell you about this. There are so many women that are telling, I love myself too much to forgive him.
This is another jargon. Of personal development.
Really?
Absolutely. Love myself. How many times books written about how to love yourself? Can you? I tried. I looked in the mirror. I love you, Minis. I love you, Minis. For years, it didn't work. And people do courses saying, now I love myself. What a joke. I met people so angry with themselves, and they tell me, I love myself.
But this is a problem with the relationships nowadays.
Yes.
Because you are telling, I love myself, yes. I don't forgive you, mm-hmm. I cannot accept this from you. Mm-hmm. And this, how you deal these moments?
Tell me.
You have to forgive. You have to accept everything or anything from your partner.
Look at the way you say it. I have to accept. The way you say it is already a problem. Can you see?
But everything has a limit.
Yeah. But let's just stop. Don't run. Stay here. I have to accept. That means you don't accept.
Okay.
If you have to do something, that means you cannot do it.
So loving someone is not about I have to.
Loving somebody, you have no choice. Have you ever decided that today I will love this woman? You got caught immediately. If you have to decide to love somebody, that means you cannot love that person.
Okay, we have
Shall I say it again? It's very important. If you decide to love a person, that means you don't love that person. Because you have to decide. You see?
But I think this is the real happiness in life, to be out of your mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Notați asta.
Yes, but listen carefully. If you have to get out of your mind, you dig deeper hole in your mind.
Uh-huh.
You cannot get out. Getting out of your mind is not a choice either. But let's talk about loving yourself again.
Okay, if you want.
If you want to truly love yourself, you need to do something.
Okay. You have to.
No. Watch yourself when you're not loving yourself with compassion. You don't have to do anything. Observe the moment when you hate yourself, but with compassion for you. This way, you will learn how to love yourself. If you want, teach your partner to love you. You love you, of course.
But you think there is a problem? We live in a very narcissistic society?
Absolutely. Our Western culture is a narcissistic culture.
Uh-huh.
Everybody is narcissistic.
No.
Everybody.
Everybody.
If you're not.
Everyone of.
Yes, to various degrees. If you're not narcissistic, you'll not survive in the Western culture.
Whoa.
But there is a danger narcissistic and a safe narcissistic.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the safe and then about the danger.
The safe narcissistic. The dangerous one. They know they are narcissistic. The dangerous one doesn't know. This is the most dangerous narcissistic. They don't know.
So in a relationship, it's okay to be a little bit narcissistic.
Have you met anybody does not want to be loved? Have you met anybody?
Hmm.
This is what narcissist is. Everybody wants to be loved. I want people to like me here. I am narcissistic. But if I know it, I will not manipulate people to love me. If I don't know it, I will manipulate them to love me. Can you see the difference? Narcissism is a very big thing. And connected again to the desire of success and money. The same question again. All these people are narcissistic. They want admiration, love, and power from people.
All the successful people, the wealthy people are narcissistic?
Of course, not absolutely everybody, but most of them. If I succeed because I am following who I am and life have given me what I want, that is not narcissistic. It's coming by itself.
And the danger, the dangerous narcissistic?
The narcissistic person has a very interesting dynamic, yes? These people have been ashamed when they were small. And the only way to be seen and respected and loved is to be better than everybody else. And most people who are on a stage, like us, have this tendency to be narcissistic. And our only salvation is to wake up and to know that we have it. And we embrace it in our heart, not to try to get rid of it until it fades away by itself.
And the problem with the narcissistic people in relationship?
Terrible, because in this relationship, one person is going to be better than the other. And the relationship will not be equal. It will be a power struggle.
Uh-huh. And the next... The other person is a victim?
The other person will suffer or fight or whatever dynamic they will create mm-hmm. together for the future. Or it is possible the other person is narcissistic too, but not as good as this one. It's possible. But it's all dynamic now. We don't know how it plays out. It depends on history, everything that happened to them before.
Mm-hmm. How to... If you are narcissistic... How you can get well?
Get well?
Get well. To
recover.
To recover, yeah. Do you have a chance, or this is your destiny?
This answer to this question is the answer to everything, okay? If I am narcissistic and I want to get rid of my narcissism, yes, it is the ultimate narcissism.
Wow. Okay.
Did you get it? It is like, do you realize that we all humans are violent? We are violent people. We inherited from the animals. The source of our violence is we don't want to be violent.
Mm-hmm.
If I become violent, if I accept my violence, yes, I will not be two people. One try to get rid of the other. I'll be complete and it will go away. This is what an answer to many things. It may be come to another question. I see it will come up again.
How can you get rid of a narcissist?
I told you. Embrace it.
Don't live a narcissist. Okay, Embrace it.
You know, something I say in the courses, and people here heard it before, but they need to be reminded.
Mm-hmm.
The only healing for everything in your life, guess what? To be conscious. Nothing else. If you're blind, you're going to fall. If your eyes open, you're not going to fall. It's as simple as that. The journey for us in this life is to be conscious, because consciousness gives you a choice. I give you a very simple metaphor. How many times you sit in a computer and type, yes? And sometimes you type and you go like this. People just go.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you become conscious like this, you correct your posture, yes? If you don't become conscious, you cannot correct your posture. The same thing with everything. Once you see what you're doing, but you have to see it with compassion. You need to see it with compassion, not with judgment. This is like a secret formula. But we are not conditioned to see our fault without fighting with ourselves. We don't like it. You see, that needs some work.
I think that the greatest form of hiding the consciousness nowadays is by addiction. When you are addicted, you are hiding, you are not conscious at all.
Every addicted person was ashamed when they were small, more or less. And the addiction give them a way out from feeling the pain. But unfortunately, the addiction makes them more ashamed. You see, addiction is very dangerous. It's a very good way to be busy and not to feel the pain. But we, in the society we live in, we hurt the addicted people and we make them more addicted by expecting and wanting them to be not addicted. We don't have compassion for them to heal.
Not at all.
So we push them even further to be addicted.
A recent guest from my podcast told me that addictions keep us alive.
Of course.
But they can also kill us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The addiction is stimulation for you not to feel the pain. But of course, if you keep doing it, it will kill you at the end. She's absolutely right. Yes.
And I see that there is a problem nowadays. More and more kids are becoming addicted.
Yes.
At young age, very young age.
Yes, yes.
Why?
They are not stable. It's very simple.
No connection with the parents?
No. The life we live now is not, there's no connection with the parents as much. Look what the parents are doing to their children nowadays. It is not the parents' fault either. We don't have time. We don't have connection. We're busy. We're chasing, everybody's chasing success. It's Simple.
And what's the greatest danger for kids becoming addicted at a very young age? How they will be in their adulthood?
But this question is like so much common sense. When I am lost, you know, by the way, addiction is narcissism also, again. When I am lost, I don't have somebody, I don't connect to somebody, I will do something to occupy my mind, I'll keep continuing. It's very simple and nothing really difficult about it to understand. It's a stimulation.
What's your, do you have any addictions now?
Education.
Education is your addiction.
Learning. I had learning. Addiction to learn, yes. I did. But I
can too much learning kill you?
I think so, yes. It can. Too much of anything can destroy you.
Be careful, Dennis.
Yes, thank you. Thanks so much. I will come and see you privately after. I do have, yes. But you see, I choose a good addiction.
A good addiction?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But how you turn a bad addiction in a good addiction?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm sure that you had also bad addictions.
Well, you see...
You told me you smoke 35 years or something.
You mean TikTok, you mean?
Huh?
TikTok, you know the phone?
TikTok is your bad addiction?
One of my addiction is.
Oh, Doamne, și menis era ultima mea speranță. Că...
I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is so short, you see, and keep moving all the time, so I don't have to think too much.
Menis, we are very, very late, I think. The last question, if there are parents. There are parents in the room, yeah. One single thought for the parents in their way home to children.
There are many. I'll try to find one or two. The best thing to do with our children is this. To do the very best you can. And the way they turn out to be is not in your hands. The other thing is, don't measure your self-worth by how good your children are. If your children fail, it is not your fault, because they will choose this for themselves. When they get to a certain age, this is their choice. You don't have to be responsible for their life until the end. I add one more thing, because people here at different ages have children different ages. We always say childhood ends. Parentinghood also ends as well. And there'll be a time in your life when your children are people. I want to say this many times. Your children are people. You know what I mean by this? They are. Because you made their brain and you made them this, you think they are yours, they are not. The ultimate love for your children, the ultimate love, is to consider them like other people and let them be free in this life.
Și acum aș vrea să auziți și o parte din gândurile mele legat de asta, pentru că știu că nu e o preocupare doar a lui Menis, copii mari deja, dar și a mea, dar și a fiecăruia dintre voi. Și Menis, în cartea asta, Adevărul ascuns în tine, spune că parentingul nu e o meserie, ci o artă. Ca orice altă artă, are o misiune, aceea de a fi, până la urmă, părinți mai buni pentru copiii noștri. Se spune că bagajul pe care îl vom purta cu noi la maturitate se construiește încă din copilărie și ca orice părinte îmi doresc pentru copiii mei, pentru fetele mele, ca acest bagaj să fie cât mai ușor din punct de vedere emoțional și cât mai încărcat din punct de vedere al educației pentru fetele mele. Aș vrea ca fetele mele să fie dependente de învățare așa cum este Menis la anii săi. Și de la Menis am învățat un lucru esențial. Copiii n-au nevoie de un părinte perfect, ci de un părinte bun. Și misiunea asta de a fi un părinte bun în era asta, social media, că spunea despre dependența lui de TikTok, este din ce în ce mai grea. Mai ales atunci când majoritatea conținutului la care copiii noștri sunt expuși nu respectă standarde realiste de frumusețe, modul în care oamenii își trăiesc cu adevărat viața. Totul ajunge să fie transformat într-o lume ideală, într-o viață ideală, într-o frumusețe ideală. Dar ideală pentru cine? Și fiind tată de 3 fete, mi-am dat seama că singurul meu succes real este să cresc fete care o să plece în propria lor călătorie în viață, nu frumoase, nu deștepte, nu primele din clasă, ci să fie niște fete care să plece în viață cu încredere în sine, încredere de sine. Și în cartea asta, În adevărul ascuns în tine, a spus Menis foarte tare: cunoașterea împrumutată nu este cunoaștere cu adevărat. Știu că pentru a cunoaște cu adevărat pe ele însele, fetele au nevoie de stimă de sine, de încredere în sine. Și de aceea partenerul nostru, nu prima oară astăzi la conferința Fain și Simplu, sunt cei de la DAV, care desfășoară programul ăsta care se numește Ai încredere în tine, și în rândul părinților, și în rândul profesorilor, și în școli, și în rândul adolescentelor, mai ales. Campania asta fără sfaturi toxice de anul ăsta, făcută de DAV, își propune exact asta, să combată sfaturile astea toxice despre frumusețe și încurajează adolescenții să-și creeze propriile standarde și să-și aleagă sursele de inspirație cu atenție, invitându-i să nu mai urmărească în mediul online tipuri de conținut care le scad stima de sine. Știu că trăim vremuri foarte aglomerate, însă adolescenții au cea mai mare nevoie la vârsta asta de voi, de părinți. Să fii prezent acolo o oră în viața lui este mai important decât să fii doar fizic 24 de ore lângă el. Tot Menis îmi spunea asta într-un podcast. Așa că vă sfătuiesc și vă încurajez ca fiecare dintre noi să nu fim perfecți, să fim un pic mai buni și să avem momentele astea de prezență în copilăria copiilor noștri, în adolescența adolescenților noștri. Asta le crește stima de sine și cred că ar trebui să înțelegem mai mult, să ascultăm mai mult și să vorbim cu fetele noastre, cu adolescenții noștri despre lumea asta în care e la fel de necunoscută pentru noi cât și pentru ei. Pe site-ul DAV, în programul DAV Ai încredere în tine, găsiți absolut toate resursele astea gratuite, studiați-le, e un ghid pentru părinți, un ghid și profesori, un ghid pentru adolescenți. Studiați materialele astea de pe site-ul DAV, la secțiunea DAV Ai încredere în tine și ascultați-vă copiii. Nu ascultați de ei, ascultați-i. Ascultați-i așa cum ați ascultat astăzi pe Menis și ajutați-l să învețe să-și cunoască adevărul ascuns în el. Frumusețea aia autentică a fiecărui om și individ de pe pământul ăsta. Vă mulțumesc mult de tot pentru ascultare. Menis, are you ready for the Q&A session?
Yeah. But while you're talking, I remembered something about parents. I want to add it. The best gift you give to your children for a lifetime is for you to be happy. If you are happy, do you feel safe? And you will have a great life. If you're not happy, you will live all the life very scared because you are the source of their existence.
Nothing to add. I remember something.
Yes.
You tell me your story. You went through three wars in your whole life, and the fact you refuse to fight in the last one is the reason why you haven't seen your childhood country for 50 years already. I just want to ask you, we have a recent war that broke out, the Israel and Palestine war. What is your perspective on these conflicts and their effects on people's minds? Because I think you are the man that you can bring a little light in this ocean of darkness.
This war now has a potential of raising the human consciousness if we really look carefully at the war now. The Israelis and Palestinians are victim to the human consciousness. That is law. What does that mean? That's a big question. What a great opportunity we have.
To raise our conscience.
From this war now. It is not about the Palestinians, it's not about the Israelis. We have to look very deeply into this. I don't talk about politics. Politicians have their own agenda. I want to go to the psychological problem that the world see today. What we see today is something very interesting. Watch how our life is working at the moment. We all, many of us, the majority of people, are in conflict. What is the conflict? Look, people, relationships in conflict. Religions are in conflict. Inside the religion, there's a conflict. Every country is in conflict. I'll tell you what I mean by conflict. Even therapy, personal development, they have conflict with each other. Yeah. Yes? What does that mean? That means this. My method is better than yours. My country is better than yours.
My belief is better than your belief.
Yes. My religion is better than yours. Inside the religion, there are factions. My type of religion is different than the type of fish. What does that mean? Look now what's happening. After all the development in the world, we managed to put the man on the moon. We managed to get the most advanced technology. We have not managed to solve the conflict we have in our life. Isn't that a sign that our conscience is low? Now, the message is coming now. That's it, very personal to me. Because when I was young in Egypt, it was clear to me, war is not the answer. Because you don't fight a war with war. We have the wrong war. That means we have the wrong peace. Peace is like forgiveness, the same thing. We don't have to forgive. We don't have to have peace. Peace doesn't mean anything. Why do we have to have a war to have peace? So we have now all over the world organizations fighting for peace all over the world. No one succeeded. Why? The big answer is coming. We are looking outside. We're not looking inside. There's a war in every single person in the room. There's a Palestinian Israeli in the heart of every person in the room. This is where we need to look here, not to look there, you see? How to look here? Have you noticed a country that's in war that is powerful? The country's not always powerful, not too powerful. Why America's powerful? Every 2 years, America change enemy. Have you noticed? It's a country of war, all its life. When people are fighting, when you fight somebody, you are powerful. You understand? Because you are powerful. That means we fight to be powerful. We fight because we have aggression. If everybody of us look in our heart and soul and say, my God, I have aggression in me. The moment I say to myself, I don't want to be aggressive, I will fight for peace. Did you get it?
Simple as that.
Everybody who wants peace, because they are denying the war inside of them. It's a cover up for the war inside of our heart. How can I want peace in the world when I keep fighting with my partner every day? How can I fight for peace? How can I want peace if I tell you, Murar, my religion is better than yours? My therapy is better than somebody else's therapy. My seminar is better than yours. My country is better than yours. There will be no peace this way. So the world is not yet ready to raise their consciousness to the level.
We are not ready?
Not yet, but this war is a reminder again. But the question I have in my mind, how many people need to die for us to learn this lesson? Maybe some more will die. Do you know the world is split into two? One for the Palestinians, one for the Israelis. The whole world is split into two. So this war actually showing us what is the source of the war. It's because we are separated. It's as simple as that. So if in order for us to have peace in the world now, everybody need to deal with their own violence in their heart. And the politicians will change by themselves. The decision will change by themselves. Because we made the politicians. By the way, the real politician, the real leader in the world, main job, guess what it is? Is to not allow his country to go to war.
Not allowed his country to?
To go to war.
To go to war.
This is the real leader. The real leader is to stop the war, not to start a war.
Thank you, Menis.
Thank you.
Ready for the questions? O să facem în felul următor. Cristiana, mulțumesc mult de tot. Avem o șmecherie nouă. Aveți un site acolo în colțul ecranului. Puteți intra pe acel site, slido.com, și dacă treceți acel cod, puteți adresa întrebarea care mi-apare direct mie pe laptop aici. Altfel, avem și microfoane în sală și puteți să puneți întrebările pentru Menis. Iar la final, după Q&A, abia aștept să ne vedem pentru îmbrățișări, poze și autografe pe cartea Adevărul Ascuns în Tine. Ready for the first questions? Deja îmi apar aici. How you decide that is the right time to have children?
This is a very Western question. Let me go around the question a little bit. In the East, when a child is born, yes, they think it's a gift from God. In the West, maybe not so much Romania, I don't want to give you a hard time here. When a child is born, you read the statistics, by the age of 16, it's going to cost you £1,350. Yes? So people start getting worried that how much the child cost me, they start thinking. Having a child is like love. The same thing. You don't decide. You don't decide.
We don't decide.
No. Wait, slow down, slow down. Every person born in this life, born with a gift. Even if this person fail in life, this person will be a gift to others. So wait a minute. Wait a minute.
One more question.
Okay.
An anonymous one. How can you be well after a divorce?
Very easy. Well after divorce? Very easy to say. Very easy to say. The person you married, yes, has become part of your life forever. You must accept that fact. Especially if you have children with a person, you're stuck with them forever. You cannot get rid of them. What is the most common sense thing to do is to have a good relationship with that person. You need to change the dynamic of the relationship from partners to parents if you have children with this person. Because if you marry somebody for a while, part of you become in them and part of them comes in you.
Mm-hmm.
And especially If you have a relationship with somebody else, this is very important what I'm going to say to you. If you left your partner, you have a relationship with somebody else, you must never ever eliminate that partner from your life. You must tell your new partner, my life was with somebody else before you, and they're very important to me, but my life is with you now. Absolutely important. If you reject them, push them away, neglect them, no matter how much pain they cause to you, it will show up in your new relationship. It might show up in the children also.
Thank you. Okay, next question. I am in a relationship with a narcissistic person whom I love very much. Should I stay or should I break up with him? Is there any chance for him to change?
There is no chance for him to change.
Do you see any benefits to the therapeutic relationship?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Is it healthy to exist competition between the partners of a from a relationship?
Competition will destroy the relationship.
Why is it hard to let somebody else to love us?
To love us?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is the two things I asked you. Do you remember? You asked me in the beginning.
Yeah.
The hardest thing in the world to allow a person to love you. It is hard because we don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. We don't know the taste. Like you described me, a taste of something I had never tasted before. So I will reject it. It's as simple as that. If nobody loved me and I meet a person who loved me, I don't know what it is. I will have to use my mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best thing I can do. Then I will do something for them to get the old taste again.
A very good question. Are you ready? If two parents,
yes,
divorced parents,
yes,
one of them offers gadgets and displays to the kid, and the other one offers authentic experiences. Mm-hmm. When will the kids be attracted to the second partner?
It's difficult to answer, but the children are very interesting. They know authentic love and unauthentic love. They know. They will be happy with the person giving them gifts, but eventually they will understand that was not a real love.
That's your answer.
Yeah.
Who had the largest influence on you, Menis?
Are you asking me?
Mm-hmm.
My wife.
My wife.
Yes.
How can you accept your past? Because you told us that success means to accept your past.
You can accept your past if you feel the pain of the past with compassion for yourself.
How you should behave as a parent having a teenager who is addicted on drugs and refuse to get affection?
You know, this come up a lot. I tell you how you behave. The person who has a child or someone in the family who is addicted, that person has two situations going on. One is, this is the one who needs support, not the person who's addicted that needs support. So the person needs to get support. The other thing is, this child they have who's addicted, as I said before, is a gift to them to learn how to love.
Two more. Are men's addictions made worse by women's ego?
Let's change the word ego to control.
How to get rid of ego? This is the last one.
Oh, what the best question you asked me since the beginning. If you want to get rid of your ego, This is your ego talking.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And
how you silence your ego?
If you want to silence your ego, it's your ego talking.
If I tell you thank you, is my ego talking?
Și.
Doamnelor și domnilor, vă mulțumesc mult de tot pentru faptul că ați rămas până la ora asta.
I want to tell people last message, small message.
Can I tell a small message from you?
Yeah.
Always.
Okay. I want to tell you a little story. Very short story, but I think some of you know it from before, but it will be a very wonderful reminder how to make life easy for you. This is one of the old Zen stories, like in the olden days. There was this king, had an assistant that traveled with him everywhere. Assistant is very positive about life. Everything is okay. No matter what happens, he tell the king, is a good thing, my king. So the king goes hunting with his assistant, and the king by accident shot his finger when he shoot him to an animal, and went mad, and his assistant told him, it's a good thing, my king. The king went mad. How can I lose my finger, and you tell me it's a good thing, my king? So he put his assistant in the prison. Okay? He recovered, but the assistant, his right-hand man, is in the prison. The king went to go hunting again. He got lost, and a tribe caught him. And the tribe are cannibalism. They eat people. So they prepare a big pot to boil the king and eat him. And the last minute, they discover the king missing a finger. And according to the tradition, they should not eat a person who's missing part of the body. So they released him. And he went very excited. He went run back home and went to his assistant and told him, can you imagine? You were right, and I am sorry, I beg you, forgive me, I put you in the prison. And the assistant said, it's a good thing, my king. What? Why? He said, if I had come with you, you would have eaten me. So, everything that happened to you, I'd like to remember to say, is a good thing, my king.
Beres.
Thank you.
You can kiss Elena. Vreau să vă mulțumesc încă o dată foarte mult celor care ați făcut efortul să rămâneți până la ora asta. Știu că e un efort. Menis vorbește pe un ton cald pe care probabil unii nu sunt obișnuiți să li se vorbească și mulțumesc pentru răbdare și pentru bariera asta de limbă și pentru greșeli și pentru tot. Sper că a fost o întâlnire cu sens pentru fiecare dintre voi și în afară de faptul că plecați fiecare către casele voastre cu o stare, sper să puneți în practică ceea ce simțiți voi, nu ceea ce v-a spus Menis, ceea ce vi se potrivește. Eu nu știu cum să vă fiu altfel recunoscător, că mi se pare foarte mult ceea ce oferiți voi de fiecare dată, așa că singurul mod în care pot să mă recompensez este să stau până la ultima poză, ultima fotografie, ultima îmbrățișare. Ne vedem în hol. Mulțumesc, Fain și Simplu la Cluj!